your name, sir?
I'm Kevin Law.
Okay, Mr. Law, put your hands in. Okay, the Honorable Miss Rittenhouse is going to serve as your lead, sir, so if you just hold on, she'll be with you shortly after she gets some of the paperwork all lined up here, and we'll be ready to go, sir. So just hold on for a second, sir.
Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Law, good morning. Could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
Kevin Law, 289515.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on August 2nd, and you signed a paper that day, do you remember?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on that paper, is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today? Okay, excellent. I would like to introduce the members of the board who are conducting the hearing today. If you look to your right, down to my left, at the far end, you see the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him, who just pulled his chair up, is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. On my other side over here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing today. We also have in the room the Honorable Mr. Turner. There he is. He is with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. So I need to swear the both of you in. Mr. Baugh and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Baugh?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Baugh, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, for phase one, what I'll do is I'll read this allegation to you, and I need you to respond whether it's true or false, sir. So here, we'll start phase one, and the allegation is that you were in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to report to the Back Canyon Regional Office, located at 24601 North 29th Avenue in Phoenix, on or about May 2nd, 2018, per the Notice of Noncompliance dated May 1st, 2018. It says the offender is actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Vaughn, is that true or false?
It's true.
It's true? Okay, sir, thank you. Based on Mr. Ball's admission, then, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways of company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, back to you then, Mr. Ball, for phase two of the hearing to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far along here, I want to ask Mr. Turner to give us some background info. So just stay on the phone. We'll be right back in a minute to ask you some questions. Mr. Turner.
Mr. Ball was released from ABC custody on 11-14-2017 and arrested on 6-6-2018 by Las Vegas PD. No new charges were noted. He's returned back to ADC custody on 6-19-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 11-18-2018 with 35 abscondes. Current conviction, 2013, organized retail theft, 5 years. Has no prior convictions. This is his first term at ABC with a CUIR score of 2-2. Mental health score of 3. Substance abuse score of 3. STG information, self-admitted to being a member of the Criminal Street Gang Gangster Disciples from Chicago, has no prior term in supervision. Disciplinary is moderate with promoting contraband and gambling noted. Under arrest, 1991, aggravated robbery, Texas, felony conviction, probation. 1992, assault, Texas, unknown. 1997, controlled substance violation, Texas, county jail. 1998, controlled substance violation, Texas, county jail. 1998, controlled substance violation, Texas, county jail. 1999, controlled substance violation, California, misdemeanor, conviction, probation. 1999, possession of narcotics, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2001, domestic violence, California, guilty, other sanctions. 2002, forgery, California, guilty, other sanctions. 2002, narcotic possession, transport, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2004, robbery, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2005, controlled substance violation, Texas, county jail. 2006, robbery, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2007, unlawful use of means of transportation, California, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2007, theft of a vehicle, California, unknown. 2008, theft, Minnesota, unknown. 2010, DUI, liquor, drugs, vapor combination, California, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2012, drug paraphernalia violation, California, county jail. His GP score, G6, V6.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. So, Mr. Boyd, you say you never had a DUI?
No.
Okay, well, this is a, we just had the information what's where it was in the system, so, yeah.
No problem.
Okay, thank you, sir. We've had a brief written summary of your case supervision, and it looks like when you were first released, you went to Reborn on Orangewood Avenue. Did you go there when you first got released?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then you went to live with your girlfriend at 1939 West Cocopah?
That's where the nightmare started.
That's where the nightmare started, okay. So explain that. We'd like to hear about that.
Basically, the first program didn't try to say anything about that. I want to say beat myself. I want to just pat myself on the back because I'm a chronic scoundrel. I always ran. I mean, just take off running from the gate. And in this case, I was here a few days in Arizona and came straight to prison. So I think for me getting out and to work for 6.5 months doing good, I think that was a lot for me. You know, it takes a lot. I've been a mess up all my life. So I think that I was doing good, but I got in bed with the wrong woman. And I was using crack cocaine all those years, and I got off of cocaine. And crystal meth was something that she was doing, and I'll be honest, I was wrong for indulging in that, but that was something I was doing around her.
Oh, okay.
So I left to get away from her. That's really why I ran. I have no excuse for scouting. I did that. I'm guilty as charged. But I think I was trying to better myself, trying to get away from her. I didn't go through the proper channels. I knew that me being in Arizona, I was weak behind her. So that was one of the reasons why I left.
Okay. And you went up to Las Vegas? Is that when you went up there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations on the 6 months anyway, and good for you. Now you've proven that you can do it. So you can do it. Okay. So were you working at Shamrock, it says here? It says they call it a...
You see, the name of the company was Open Works. So Open Works was a little company with sanitation inside of Shamrock. Cody Watts was my PO, which was a Denver PO, and he worked with me a lot. But
okay.
Like I said, I was working doing good, and I would love to go back and resume that.
Okay. Well, they just said, the report here says they called Shamrock, and they had never heard of you. But that's because you weren't working for Shamrock. That makes total sense. Okay, and it looks like you were responsible to submit UAs, and you were, as you said, doing well. You did fail to produce a bunch in November, January, February, but then it looks like that at that point, that's when you had moved in with the girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah, and I see a positive at the end of February for marijuana, and then another about 2 weeks later for amphetamines and marijuana, both. Were you calling in to, you had a whole bunch of failed to produce specimens. Were you calling and getting your color?
No.
Because you had the color maybe.
No, I always went. I can remember once, I don't know why it says failed to produce. I think that's like failed to produce a negative. Because I always went, because if you notice, if you look on there, why would I not get violated if I failed to produce?
Yeah.
Why would you?
Good point.
There's no setup. So I always went. So that's a, I don't know if it's a typo or a wrong.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have that many failed to produce and not get violated.
Okay, sir. All right. So when you were arrested by Las Vegas PD, what were you doing? What was happening there?
Vegas has a thing. If you're a downtown area around Fremont and you jaywalk, you're going to jail. If you're a tourist, they let you get away with it. But if you have any type of criminal history, you're going to jail. And I jaywalked across the line with a group of other people, but I was the one that they stopped. So,
all right. Well, all right. I'll make a note of that. All right, and I am going to see if my fellow board members have. Mr. Quinones has a question for you.
Thank you, Ms. Redwest. Mr. Ball, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to give you a hard time. You have a very long and varied and multi-state criminal history.
Yes, sir.
I'm asking you point blank, what's it going to take to break this cycle for you? Because we want to see people succeed out there. We want to see you do all right, and I like some of the ownership I heard from you about like wanting to get away from the methamphetamine and admitting to your absconding history, but I'm just not to drag this out, what's it going to take for you to break the cycle?
I think this is the nail in the coffin for me. Honestly, I got a good thing leaving here going to Sunrise for the WCO program, and there were so many job opportunities. I was just telling the guy, it's already like if 67% of Americans can get up off their butt and go to work, why can't I? Then this was the first time I've ever had a job in my life. I've always sold drugs, robbed, did drugs. I've always been a mess up. So this is the first time that I actually had a job. She had kids. I was taking care of her kids. So for 6.5 months, I felt good about myself. But I found out later that she was doing drugs. So it kind of like took me aback, like, oh, wow, here we go. And then I ended up joining with her. And it turned me into someone, I said, you don't want to see the old me, because the old me, I am a monster. and that's what I was turning into. So when my PO, Cody Ross, was telling me, like, yeah, this is not you. I'm like, you're right, it's not. So and they called me to do another UA, my cover popped up. I knew that I was dirty. And the things that she was taking me through with the cheating and the drugs, it was just so much, I wanted to get away. But what would it take for me? Honestly, what would make me feel good about myself now is to get out of here. And my guys are saying, hey, kid, why are you going to the border? Why aren't you trying to keep your number? I'm like, my mom died the last 90 days before my release. I'm like, I don't want to die sitting here. I want to be sitting around this yard coming up with more schemes and concoctions on how to get out and do wrong again. I would love the opportunity to get out and go back to work. I have a halfway house that accepted me already, and I know my job's waiting on me because I was one of the best workers that they had there. But that would be a good start for me to get back out and go to work.
Well, Mr. Bob, regardless of how we vote today, I'm praying for you. So I hope this is it. Thank you.
I think this will be it. Thank you. God bless you.
Any other questions? So Mr. Mott feels pretty good to actually work and have money that you earned and nobody can take, huh?
First time in my life.
And that is very impressive that you know that feeling. And I'm glad you got to know that feeling now. Because I hear your voice, you probably are turning that corner and you're gonna be okay. So, and we're glad about that.
Yeah, it would be a blessing for you guys to just come together one time and say, hey, don't give me a job break. And with those charges that they just went off, I've been, they're not as bad as they sound. They're not as bad as they sound, you know. I can admit that they're not as bad as they sound. I keep going in on detail and drag them out to you, but I wish you guys just come together one time and say, hey, I think this guy really got it. Just give him a break.
All right, sir. Well, the board is going to go into discussion in just a few moments, but I will give you the opportunity in case there's something else that's come to your mind that you think the board should know this. Is there anything else without repeating something you've already said?
No,
Anything else you've thought of?
No, ma'am.
All right, so we'll go into discussion then, and we will, we've not discussed your case before now, because we do all our discussion in public under the open meeting law. So we just ask you to stay on the phone there, and we'll be right back with you in just a moment.
Thank you.
All right, the board is now in discussion. Mr. Ball is very intelligent and certainly a very likable person. He was very candid with us about why he left, certainly had good reason, and rightfully proud of the fact that he did 6 months without absconding and running away as he says he always does. And I'm kind of proud of him about that. And I'm hearing in his voice, I think he's going to figure this out. The part I'm having difficulty with is he absconded for 35 days, and not only did he abscond, but he left the state. And if he hadn't left the state, I might feel differently. I mean, I understand the drug use was the influence of the girlfriend, and he's told us that why. But I'm just struggling with the actually leaving the state. Even though Las Vegas is close, it is another state. And that was a true violation of conditions in addition to the abscond and the drug use. But I will listen to any input from fellow board members. Any other comments? Any thoughts? Okay. All right, then, based on information in warrant 2018-W1493, our conversation with Mr. Baugh, information provided by Mr. Turner, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Baugh was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal laser company, and specifically by absconding for 35 days and actually leaving the state. And his parole officer did not know his whereabouts. So that is my motion.
Second. Agreed.
All right. Motion by myself, seconded. Mr. Kenyon, disagree. Dr. Roy, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Baugh, there are so many factors. We have to consider the whole picture. And you violated in three ways, really. The third, the absconding, and then the leaving the state and the drug use. So we do think that you've got your mind figured out now. You're going to make better decisions in the future. We're showing a release date for you of November 18th. So that's not all that far. I mean, it's a couple of months away here. Well, 1 August, 3 months about, just about. So we wish you the best, though, sir. I think I hear in your voice, I think you may be done with this, and this may be your last time in Orange. And we certainly hope that for you, sir.
Thank you.
Wish you the best, sir, and your hearing is concluded. If you could lay the phone, or give the phone back to the CO3. Appreciate it. Thank you.